All rise. In Steve's case, he actually just sat down. Welcome back. Final segment of Crunch Time for a Wednesday. That means it's time for the Crunch Exchange. I'm going to bring up some stories from around the world of sports, give Steve a prospectus from those stories. He's going to tell us if he is buying or selling said prospectus. There is also an option for pending. Let's go ahead and start off with the thing we were just talking about in the previous segment. Puma, interesting push in the shoe game lately by Puma of all companies. They have targeted the new high-level draft picks in the NBA draft and have landed them. DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley Jr. Today they get Michael Porter Jr. This on the heels of them naming Jay-Z as the president of their basketball division. They're making one of the biggest pushes in the history of the shoe game after basically being out of it for a while. They have Rihanna running the women's sports line, have musicians The Weeknd, Big Sean, and Usain Bolt as an endorsers as well. Of course, the classics, Clyde Frazier, Joe Namath, which we've talked about, Martina Navratilova as well. But the prospectus, you buy or sell Puma as a legit player in the NBA shoe game?
I think that they're on the come. People like something new. As much as people love Jordans and Nike and everything.
New
and
old
Adidas,
at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, I just think the time is ripe and very wise to push kind of the week of the draft with everybody paying attention to the young players. That seems like a relatively simple purchase.
Not a simple purchase.
Plus, I like
the prices. Yeah, Phil Mickelson made one of the oddest moves in golf history at the U.S. Open when he hit a horrible putt, which was about to roll down a hill. Then he chased the ball down, which Phil chasing something. How about that? And hit it back at the hole while it was still moving. I have never seen a pro golfer do that in a tournament before because it's crazy. With the penalty he got, he ended up getting a 10 on the hole. But many said, including Lefty actually, that he should have been disqualified from the rest of the tournament for it because Rule 1-2 says that if a player purposefully alters a previous shot, then he should be. In not choosing to, the PGA pointed to Rule 14.5, which states that it's just a two-stroke penalty to strike a ball while it's moving. So it was kind of pick and choose for them. They chose to leave him in. What say you, the prospectus? Lefty should have been DQ'd.
On the spot, immediately. I don't even believe it was a discussion. And it's not to be taken as, you know, he's a disgrace to the game and he should be suspended. But under those circumstances, with what we saw, the fact that the only other time we saw it was 19 years ago with John Daly, yeah, suspension, buy it.
Dwight Howard traded today from the Hornets to the Nets for a bunch of stuff. Who really cares because it's the Hornets and the Nets? But Howard being in the news again has made many bring up his status for when he retires. I know some of us thought he already had, but many are saying right now that he's a surefire lock for the Hall of Fame, even though he's been a bum for quite a while now.
Not about a bum.
But here are his career numbers, Steve. 17.4 points, 12.7 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 steal per game. Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA 3 times, All-NBA First Team 5 times, All-Star 8 times. He's also a crybaby, but he's no doubt a great basketball player on the court. Prospectus, Dwight Howard, a Hall of Famer.
Well, the thing is, it's all-encompassing, and he's got no college track record because he was the next-to-last class that went high school to the NBA. And he's not really dipping. His numbers this year were what you described. He was about 16.8, 12.5 rebounds, couple blocks. I think he's going to fall into the TO category, where when he retires, it's like, we know you're a Hall of Famer. We're going to make him wait a little bit. So no first ballot, but he'll end up in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I'll buy that.
Tom Brady went on Oprah and talked about a lot of things, including his thoughts on the anthem protest and his playing status and how long he'll be able to keep doing it. At one point, he said he could play until 50, but he told Oprah that he's been thinking about it more lately and can see the end of his career and that it will be sooner rather than later. He has 3 kids, no need for money, a wife who can carry them financially for the rest of their lives, assuming he doesn't mess that up somehow. Now, today, he hinted on Instagram that he may play until 40. He is 40 right now, will be 41 when the season starts. So that's like 4 more seasons, essentially. The prospectus, you buy or sell Brady playing until 45.
I'm going to sell that. That's crazy. He's got this year and next year. Then I think Giselle puts her foot down and he's out.
like that. The LeBron sweepstakes has been in full force the last week or two. Much of the talk has surrounded him possibly playing for the Lakers because it's the Lakers. And if that happens, the team would need to surround him with some pieces, which generally in this case means getting rid of some good young ones. NBA reporter Chris Haynes said this week, the one name he hears the most in those talks, Lonzo Ball. Say what you will about his dad, but Lonzo is a key piece for the Lakers' future. Not a great shooter, great defender and distributor for them. Again, future of the franchise. So prospectus, you buy or sell the Lakers, shipping away Lonzo, even if it gets them LeBron for a couple of years.
Wow. I think they like not only their young nucleus, but the way those guys get along with and allow themselves to be coached by Luke Walton. I'm not saying they're shutting the door on the possibility to get LeBron, but after a year and an injury, I just don't get the feeling from what I'm reading in the LA papers that they're ready to part with this kid just yet. So I'm going to sell that.
I would love to see Lonzo end up in like a secondary market or something
just
like that.
Yeah, but that's just to bust his dad's balls.
Exactly. God, that would be so great.
Portland!
Never hear from them ever again.
Portland. Moving forward, I'm a little less prone to want to punish kids for the crimes of their parents, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, Nick, let's get the Blazers another guard. That's a fantastic, fantastic idea. Neil Olshey is totally going to do it.
But when the league's moving?
Steve, it's that time of year, the most wondrous of the year for we people in these United States of America who happen to follow college football for a living. That's right! The new Phil Steele books are here! And what do we care about every time these books come out? Well, where Oregon is predicted to finish in the standings, of course. And the way Phil has them coming into the summer is as follows. Pick to finish third in the Pac-12 North behind Washington and Stanford, just cracking the top 25 at number 24 in the country. He pointed to the numbers. Oregon, 52 points per game with Justin Herbert last year, 15 points per game without him. My God, that's a big number difference. So they should be good in a Pac-12 title contender if he's healthy, according to Phil Steele. So a couple here. The prospectus, you buy or sell Oregon as a top 25 team after last year, which saw them finish 7-6.
Well,
and losing Rice Freeman.
First of all, they're going to be well within the top 25 when conference play starts because they got three bunnies. So they're going to be 3-0. I don't see Washington State, Cal, or Oregon State as a threat. So I just got them to 6 wins. And, you know, we'd have to see what to expect from the South. So does 8-4 during the regular season get you into the top 25? 9-3? I got to tell you, I'm going to need to throw that one as pending. I need more info. We just got the magazine.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
And the follow-up. The prospectus, Oregon is a legit contender for the Pac-12 title next season.
This coming season. I really don't see them as the equivalent of Washington for sure. And I just think Stanford is better top to bottom. Bryce Love is back. I like their defense. I like their coach. There is a rookie coach here. Those are pretty big expectations. I think Oregon slotted third in the North is right where they belong, so I'm going to sell that.